You know, it is such a blessing to be a part of such a loving church. I've been here over 28 years. 80, he says. And it just gets, this church and the people in it just get sweeter and better with each year that passes. And look at the table out there. You'll see their expressions of love for one another. But the greatest expression of love there ever was came from God to us when he sent his son. And this song seemed appropriate. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Very shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, so
should die for Amen. Thank you, Carla.
What a beautiful medley of just God's love for us and his care for us. And this last song that we sing before we hear the preaching of the word is Does Jesus Care? 574. I invite you to turn there. And it asks the question rhetorically because the answer is, of course, yes, he cares in every way, in his deepest way. And if we ever doubt the care, just look at the cross to see how much he cares. Please stand and turn to 574 as we sing this song, Does Jesus Care?
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, oh yes, he cares. By my grief, when the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
As we sing stanza four, all the kids are dismissed to children's church. Stanza four together, please.
Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it odd to him? Does he see? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched by my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Amen. Be seated, please.
Good morning. Go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 4 through 9 this morning. We'll get there in just a second. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. As I was looking ahead to this Sunday morning, I was really praying to see what the Lord would have me speak on this morning, and this passage just kept coming back to me. We just did a study of Philippians a couple months ago in the youth Sunday school time. So this was something that we had just recently studied. I'd just gone through, prepared for that. And Philippians is one of my favorite books of the Bible, considering everything that is in that, the situation that Paul was in, the church that he was writing to, just one of my favorite books to go to. But as I was considering and looking at the news and the situations going on around us in this world today, I really thought about today, I want to speak to you on what it looks like in the life of a believer, in the life of anyone, when there is fear and anxiety and sorrow that just seems to control your life and there is no hope of any peace anywhere in sight. So I want to talk to you today about a cry for help. A cry for help. As you look out in our world today, if you check out the news, you're seeing this overwhelming trend of people that are crying for help. Now, they may not realize that that's what they are doing, but as they are going about seeking answers from the world, looking for a way to have peace in their lives, they are going about it in many different ways and many different directions. You can see many, many people in this world that deal with depression. You can see many people around us in this church here that have over-controlling anxiety and fear about what is going to happen in many different situations, whether it's the future, whether it's in the current situation that they're in with their job. There is fear and anxiety in this world around us, and there's fear and anxiety in our church today. And many times, this is something that we just feel like we cannot control, that we cannot get our hands on. The world goes to a lot of different places to find answers for this. A very popular thing today is the people needing emotional support. If you've been looking at the news recently, there's this big trend of emotional support animals. You see people out there that are having these animals that they're trying to take on flights with them. A couple weeks ago, this lady tried to take a peacock on a flight with her. That was denied, surprisingly, and there's still a line to be drawn. But as funny as that might seem, what it says to me is that there is people in this world right now that need help. There is people that are craving something. What we know that they are craving and desiring is help from God. But do they actually know that? But my main focus this morning is not necessarily on the outside world, but it is on us today. Because I have seen many times people in the church that have been dealing with fears and anxieties and depression, and they feel like they just can't talk to anybody about it because, boy, I don't want to admit to anyone that I'm going through this, that I'm struggling. But you realize these are not sins in and of themselves. When it becomes a sin is when it begins to control us and we don't let the Lord do a work in our lives and we don't allow Him to use us still. There is going to be times in our life when we don't have control. That should be all the time with us. We should be looking to the Lord for control all the time. But there's going to be certain times in our life when situations are happening and circumstances in our life are dominating us where we just can't see any light in the darkness that we are in. What do we do in those situations? What do we do in response to those times when we have this fear, this anxiety, these feelings of depression that are weighing us down? Because, folks, there are people in this church right now, maybe you yourself, that are dealing with this. And this is not something to be ashamed of. This is something that we need to seek answers from God's Word. That we need to see what God tells us and how to biblically respond to these situations in our life. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to see what Paul tells us through inspiration of God of how to respond to these feelings and to these times in our lives. You see, in Philippians 4, Paul explains to the Philippian church how they can conquer anxiety and fear in their lives personally, as well as how to develop an atmosphere of peace in the church. So let's go ahead and read Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And thank you for showing us ways that we can deal with so many different aspects of our lives that we are struggling in, Lord. Lord, I pray specifically for the person that is sitting here this morning that is dealing with fears of what is unknown, that is dealing with the fears and the anxiety of whatever is taking place in their lives. Maybe they can't even explain it. Lord, I pray that this morning they would see from God's word how you desire to help them and how you have a way for us to escape those feelings. And Lord, I pray that we would see a great work done here this morning. Lord, I also pray as we go throughout this morning that if there is anyone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, and Lord, maybe they're dealing with these different situations where they're crying out for help, I pray that today they would realize that you are here to save them and that you can rescue them from any situation that they are in, and that today would be their day of salvation. But I pray that you bless this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. What we're going to see here, folks, is in verses 4 through 6, Paul gives us three actions that we can take in order to conquer anxiety in our lives. The actions against personal anxiety, number 1, in verses 4 through 6. First of all, We see that we are to rejoice in the Lord. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Where does Paul say that we should find our joy? It should be in the Lord. There's a lot of things that bring joy in our lives. I have a little 4-month-old daughter that brings me a lot of joy in my life. I just look at her and smile at her. She smiles back at me. It is hard to imagine anything else that brings more joy at that point. I have my wife that we have so much fun together. We love each other. We have a lot of joy together. I have family that I talk to that I find joy in. I have friends that I spend time with, things that I enjoy to do, hobbies that I like, that bring joy in my life. But nothing can bring joy in my life even close to what God can bring and the joy that He brings in my life. And if we are finding joy in some other place to supplement the joy that we can get from God, then folks, we are failing as Christians. And we are not living up to the full potential that God has for us. We are not seeing the true joy that can be in our lives as believers. Because, folks, there is no true greater joy than being a servant of Christ and being His child and being joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the one who died for us. That should bring so much joy in our lives that we just can't even explain it. Our joy should be found in the Lord. But not only more so, Paul takes this a next level. He didn't simply just say, rejoice in the Lord, and then move on to the next verse. He says it twice here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This is a double imperative statement. Paul is saying here, rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you just missed what I just said, rejoice in the Lord. He's saying it twice here. He's trying to get this across to us. This is imperative. This is important for us to understand. If we are dealing with fear and anxiety in our lives today, the first thing that we need to do is find our joy in the Lord. Because let me tell you, folks, when we try to find our joy in the world, even with people that we are close to and things in this life, they are going to fail us. And that joy is going to run out. And there's going to be a point that we get to where there is no more joy. And if we're finding our joy in things or people, there is going to be a point where we find ourselves just full of fear and anxiety because there is no joy. But the joy of the Lord never fails. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same joy that we had yesterday, the same joy that we have today in Him is going to be the same tomorrow and forever. And that joy never ends and never ceases. And Paul is trying to get that across to us. We need to realize that there is no situation in our lives that the joy of the Lord cannot conquer. There is no situation that we can come across where the joy of the Lord cannot help us. Now, I'm not saying that in every situation that you come across, every difficulty in life, that you're just going to be joyful all the time. There is obviously times in our lives when it is a very difficult time. We have physical issues, we have job issues, we have family friends that are going through things. And yet we can still find a joy in the Lord. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, look at verses 2 through 4. In these situations that we come across, can we really find that joy? Or is there a situation that we have in our lives that is too great for that joy? James says in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. When you fall into this difficult time in life and this fear and anxiety is just surrounding you, count it all joy. What does that mean? Is there still things in our life that we can find joy in even in the midst of these terrible situations? And folks, many times this fear and anxiety, we can't grasp. We can't understand where it comes from. We just know that there is something going on and we just can't explain it. Can we still find joy in that? Yes, the Lord says that we can still count it all joy. If nothing else, as a believer here today, we can go to the fact that we are one day going to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior in heaven because He died for us, gave His life for us so that we could have that eternal free gift of salvation. If anything else, everything else in life is just going completely wrong, we can always go back to that fact as believers. And we can always trust and know that once we accept Him as our Savior, we cannot lose our salvation. There's never a point that we come to where we have destroyed the fact that we were once saved by God. Once saved, we are always saved. And we can trust in that fact this morning. 1 Peter 1:8 also says, "Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." None of us have actually physically seen Jesus or God. We have not lived in a time where we have actually physically seen him. But the faith that we have in him and the trust that we have in him and seeing the work that he has done in our lives should bring us joy. And it is a joy that is unspeakable. Have you ever been to that point where you have been so excited you just can't even talk? You just go to any normal kid's birthday party and you will see this explained sometimes. I remember when I was little, there was times where I would be asking for something very specific for my birthday. I never had just like, oh, get me whatever. I always had one thing that I was very specifically desired. And I always got super excited about it. But my brother is 3.5 years younger than me. He always had one thing that the day after his birthday, he started asking for the next year. I mean, since he was little. And he didn't change that. He stayed on that the whole year. It was easy to get him stuff because he always wanted that. But let me tell you, he would get so excited. He couldn't even talk. He would open that, was it a birthday or Christmas or whatever it was. One year he got this little toy dart crossbow thing he had been asking for forever. And he opened that thing and he's like literally shaking. He's like 7 years old. He's like shaking. He's like, oh, like, I'm like, are you surprised? I mean, you were asking for that all year. But he was so excited, he couldn't even talk. That's the kind of joy that we should have in the Lord. To where we just can't even explain it. We're like, he's so good to me. He has done so much for me. He's given me an opportunity to live in heaven forever free. All I had to do was repent of my sins. It should be a joy that is unspeakable. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, I haven't experienced joy like that in ever. I haven't had joy like that in months or years. Folks, that joy is available to you this morning. If you are a believer, you have access to that joy. Because when you reflect on what God has done for you, if you're not a believer, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that joy is available to you as well. Jesus says that it is salvation is free to anyone that comes. That joy is available to you this morning. We are to, first of all, have joy and rejoice in the Lord. Find our joy in the Lord. Secondly, in verse number 5, we see that we need to show gentleness to others. Look at verse 5. It says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." The word there, moderation, when you look at the original word there, it can be translated moderation, which means gentleness. So exactly what does it mean here when you're looking at how to respond to anxiety, how to have this peace in your life? What does it mean to show gentleness to all those around you? This means not treating people how they may deserve to be treated. One of the first things that goes when you are feeling overwhelmed and have this fear and anxiety in your life is many times you begin to place yourself in a situation where it's really hard to deal with other people because you begin to compare yourself to others. You have these feelings that are just controlling you, and you come across someone at church or at the store, and it just seems like their life is going amazing. It seems like everything's good for them and they're fine, and it's really hard to treat them right. And they've done nothing to you, but comparing your situation to theirs, it becomes very difficult. What Paul is saying here is that a gentle person does not insist on his rights. 2 Corinthians 10:1 says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you." He's saying, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. If you look at the example of Christ when he was here on this earth, the gentleness and meekness that he exemplified to everyone around him, it should be our goal as believers. We're never going to come close to how he treated people. Because let me tell you, we're still people as well. And there's going to be times where other people just like, just drive us crazy. But we should strive to treat them as Christ would treat them. We should have the desire, even in the difficult time that we're going through, even in a situation where we feel like we can't tell other people what we're going through, we still should treat them with gentleness and kindness and show them love. You see, a true leader, a biblical leader, exemplifies this. When Paul was giving the qualifications of a pastor of the leaders in the church, he told them to Timothy and Titus to be gentle, to be patient. These are true qualifications of a biblical leader. When anxiety and fear begin to grasp someone, inevitably we become self-focused. When we have all these things crowding in on our minds, we begin to become so focused on ourselves, we forget how we're treating others. We forget how we're relating with other people. By turning your focus on others, your personal situation will lose its control on you. Because when we begin to get so focused on ourselves and what we're going through, not only do we lose focus on others, we lose focus on our relationship with Christ. But by turning our focus on how we're responding to others, by what Paul is saying here, let your moderation, let your gentleness be known to others, what he's saying here is turn your focus away from yourself and look to others around you. Specifically, as members of the church at Philippi here, as members of the church here at Temple Baptist, as Christians, as believers, how are we responding, how are we treating those other believers in our lives? Because if we have become so focused on ourselves and the situation that we're going through, more often than not, those relationships are failing. But by turning the focus on others around us, it begins to put our life in perspective. It begins to turn our focus on others and on Jesus Christ. What is the phrase here at the end of verse 5? The Lord is at hand. This is the greatest example of gentleness to others. Jesus Christ, it's a reminder, he is watching us. That the goal that we have as believers should be to emulate Christ. Remember that the Lord is at hand, that he is watching. Also, it is a reminder that he is returning soon. And are we in a right relationship with those around us to where if Jesus came back right now, he would look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That he would say, your relationship with those fellow believers and with the people in your life today is an example. You have been treating them right. You haven't let your situation control you to the point that you have lost sight of your relationship with fellow other believers. Remind yourself that Jesus Christ will return soon. He could come today. He could come tomorrow. Are you ready? So not only do we need to rejoice in the Lord, do we need to show gentleness to others around us, but thirdly, in order to defeat the feelings of fear and anxiety and depression in our lives today, we need to pray continually. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The phrase there, be careful for nothing, very clearly translate in the language, in the original language, it says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't let anxiety control you to where you're like, oh man, I feel like this situation is going okay, but over here I have no idea what's coming up in the future. I have no idea what this person thinks about me. I can't explain what I'm feeling right now. I have this anxiety. Paul's saying, don't be anxious about anything. This is the whole point of this passage here, but he says another way that we can do that is by instead continually praying and giving thanks. And he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You see, right here he gives us three different phrases that say the same thing. He says, through prayer and thanksgiving, that's talking about obviously prayer, and supplication is another way of saying with prayer, let your request be made known unto God. Paul loves to overemphasize the point. Because he realized that he's dealing with people. And many times we need the fruit hung very low. We need to be over-explained what this means. By having a lifestyle of prayer, by having our focus on the Lord, we will not have those feelings of fear and anxiety control us in our lives today. Instead, we need to turn and continually pray and give thanks. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Looking in verses 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body. What shall ye put on? Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. See, what Christ goes through right here is he's explaining, I understand that there is many things in your life that you struggle with not understanding, that you think about, that you allow to control you. He lists several of them here. He talks about physical attributes in verse 27. Which of you can add to his stature one cubit, one little bit? Wouldn't that be kind of nice if we could just kind of change how tall we were just by thinking about it? But we can't do that. That's good, because there'd be like, we'd be all going all over the place. We can't do that. We don't control that. Not only physical attributes, but in verse 28, he talks about clothing. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. How come we get so caught up in, boy, I'm going to have to take care of the clothes that I need to wear today. Do I have enough clothes for my family? We get so caught up in these things that we allow them to control us. Food and drink. Obviously, these things are important. Look at verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Obviously, food and drink is rather important. We need them in order to survive. And there's going to be times in some of our lives where we're struggling, where the finances just are not meeting, and we don't know where our next meal is going to come from. Or maybe we have food, but it's just not, you know, it's not the best food. You're like, is it wrong to necessarily be worried about that? We obviously need to be taking care of our families and to be providing. But are you allowing it to control your life and to dominate it to where that is all that you're thinking about? And you're so worried about it that you can think of nothing else. What should comfort us in that time when we don't think we have what we need as believers? Look at the end of verse 32. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. In the situation where we don't understand what's going on, where we don't think we have what we need, where we have no explanation, God knows what we need. God understands our specific situation. God understands that we have a need in this area. And if we will trust Him, if we will seek Him, if we will obey Him step by step each and every day, the Lord will provide. He may not provide in the way that you are asking. This is what many times we get caught up in as believers. I'm asking, I'm praying, and I'm asking the Lord specifically for this. He may give us specifically what we ask for, but He could choose to give us something differently than that. But I do know this, that God's Word tells us that He will provide for us. He understands our situation. He understands our needs. And our God will take care of us. He will provide for us. And then in verse 34, maybe the one that we get caught up on a lot. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I'd encourage you to come back tonight, because Pastor Rain is going to be talking about three things that specifically we struggle with in trusting the Lord. And one of the main things is struggling with our future and not knowing what God has for us in our future. But He is telling us here, Jesus Christ is saying, if we seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, all these things are going to be added unto us. And He will provide for us. He will take care of us. And He will look to those needs for us. So I want you to see, we just looked at, going back to Philippians, the three actions that we need to take as believers when dealing with anxiety, and also if we're not dealing with it right now, in order to prepare ourselves for that situation. But what is the whole end goal there? What is the whole thing that we are moving towards in doing those actions and rejoicing in the Lord and being gentle to others and also having a lifestyle of prayer? What is the end goal there? Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul says, if we are living a life that is rejoicing in the Lord, being gentle to others, and a lifestyle of prayer, the peace of God will come down on you. The peace of God. What is this peace of God? We obviously have different types of peace in our lives, in times when it's quiet, maybe some of you haven't had peace in a while. If those of you that have small children right now are probably like, peace, what's that? There is obviously times in our lives where we have peace, where it's quiet. My favorite things to do is to go out in the outdoors, to go out in a place that's a long ways away from anyone else, and to just sit and to look around at the trees and the rivers and now the mountains. I didn't have those back in Illinois. But to look at all the beauty and just hear the quiet, hear the birds and the trees, that is peace. But we can kind of understand that. What is significant about the peace of God? First of all, I want you to see that this peace is divine. It says in verse 7, the peace of God. This isn't just any peace. This is peace from our God. This is peace from the Lord that saved us, from the God that created us. This is peace is divine. Second, it passeth all understanding. Look how it says, which passeth all understanding. This peace cannot be explained. There's going to be moments in your life when God brings peace in your life, and it's in the middle of the most difficult time and difficult situation you've ever experienced, and you just can't explain it. Like, where did that come from? Like, for all practical purposes, everyone looking at me, I should be, like, terrified right now. I should be scared out of my mind. I should be so worried and so filled with anxiety, and everyone would be totally understanding if I was. But the peace that God brings is without understanding. We can't comprehend where it came from or understand the depth of it. But God brings it. When we stop trying to explain or understand the peace that God gives, then we will begin to see its full extent in our lives. Because for us as individuals, we like to rationalize in our minds what's happening to us. We like to understand it. We like to say, oh, I can figure out why this is happening. But when we can't understand it, we try to rationalize it in our minds. If we just let that go and understand that God's going to bring that peace without us having to understand it, we can see the full extent of what God desires to do in our lives. We cannot even comprehend this kind of complete peace that God can bring into our lives when we trust Him. And the number three, it also keeps or guards our hearts and our minds. The end of verse 7, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This peace keeps our hearts and our minds. The heart and the mind are where fear and anxiety dwell, where they're at, where they continue to just grow. If we allow our heart and our mind to just go unchecked and allow that anxiety and fear to dwell there, it is going to grow and get worse and worse day by day. But the peace of God not only gives us comfort in the time of fear and anxiety, but it also protects our hearts against that fear and anxiety. You see, the peace of God protects you from the future fear and anxiety. Isn't that a comfort to know that this peace can rescue us from the situation you're in now and also protect you from future fear and anxiety and from the future circumstances of life? That is the peace that God gives. Then I want you to look at verse 8. The end of verse 7. You see, we have access to this peace as a result of our salvation. Because this is a peace that comes in our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. This is not a peace that we can get from the world. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is a peace that we can't understand that comes from God. It does not come from the world. It is completely different from a peace that the world can give. Then John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Folks, we don't have this rescue from the world around us. The reason we get so caught up and so filled with the fear and anxiety and these feelings of depression in our life is because we are focused on what's going on around us and we have no hope of tomorrow. But in Jesus Christ, we have true hope. We have true peace that can come. We have access to that because if you are a believer, if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life today, He can bring a peace in your life that is everlasting, that is without understanding, that gives us such a complete full sense of peace. And if you do not have access to this peace, then come to Jesus today. He is ready and waiting. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, isn't that sweet? If you have feelings of being burdened down, and you feel like you have these huge weights on your shoulders, Jesus is saying, come unto him, and he will give you rest. He will remove those weights off of your back. He will carry you along in life if you but trust in him, if you accept his free gift of salvation, and you allow him to work in your life. But then lastly, I want you to look at quickly in verses 8 through 9. We have looked at what it looks like as an individual to have this peace in our life, to conquer these feelings of anxiety. But what can we do as a body of believers, as a church, to cultivate an atmosphere of peace? I want you to look in verses 8 through 9. Paul goes on and he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He's writing to the church of Philippi, and he's saying, I want you as a group, I want you, obviously this is what you need to do individually, but as a body of believers, strive to be thinking on these things and to doing these actions in order to cultivate this atmosphere of peace. So that not only is this a place of rest and relaxation in a spiritual sense that we can go to be renewed, but also so that the world, when they come here, they see a difference. And they see that, boy, there's something different about this place. There's a true sense of peace here that I can't even explain. And we do that by living out these actions. You see, instead of allowing fear and anxiety to fill your minds, Paul gives us a list of thoughts and attitudes to fill our life with. Paul's language here indicates that this should be exemplified by the whole church. These different things, we have truth, thinking on truth, things that are not false. If you're allowing anxiety to control your mind, a lot of the thoughts that you're filling your mind with are not even true. We may think that they're true in our mind, but if you're thinking on truth from God's word and you replace those lies in your mind with truth, you'll begin to see an attitude of peace come about. Think on things that are honest, things that are noble. They're above the world's thoughts. Things that the world doesn't that we shouldn't as Christians bother thinking about, but that the world consumes their thinking with. Think also on what is just. This is what is right. Don't think about things that are wrong, things that are evil, that are bad in the world around us. Think on what is right. Think on things that are pure. Things that are acceptable in God's sight. Don't fill your mind with things of this world. Think on things that are lovely. This is an attitude that draws other people to you. Things that makes people come to you and want to be around you. Have an attitude of thinking on things that are lovely. Think on things that are of good report. This is something that is of a good reputation. You're someone that people look at you and they're like, that person has an awesome reputation. This is an attitude, a lifestyle that should be lived out. You see, these things have been taught, received, and exemplified to the church. Look in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. You see, he says, you have been taught these things. You have been living these things. You have seen me, Paul speaking here, you have seen me live these things out before you. Do these things. Paul's not saying, look at me as I do this, and I'm the perfect example of how to live a peaceful life. He's saying, I have had to learn this myself. He said, I've had to go through this, and I've had to learn how to do these things. But as an example, that is how I've been trying to live my life. Follow me, as he says in another passage, as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ and try to live out these things. You see, folks, if the church cultivates these thoughts and attitudes as a whole, the peace of God will saturate this atmosphere. The peace of God will be so pervading and controlling here that an already awesome atmosphere that we have at this church of love of one another and a true love of God will begin to be a place that those of us that are struggling with thoughts and fears and anxiety can come here to have our burdens taken off, to be able to share with one another of what we're going through, to be able to talk about things of the Lord. And this fear and anxiety, we can just leave outside this building. When we leave here, we are renewed in the Lord. And as a body of believers, it should be our desire to help our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be living out a life that cultivates these feelings and these attitudes of peace. What are some direct applications we can take home this morning? Remember, first of all, that there is never a point that you can reach that is beyond God. There's never a point that you can reach as an unbeliever, as a person, if you're sitting here today without Christ, you are not too far away from God. There is nothing that you have ever done that has separated you completely from God, and there is no hope of salvation. If you look at Scripture, you look at examples of people that did some horrible, terrible things in their lifetime. Paul himself, who wrote this book of Philippians, persecuted believers before he was a Christian. He did some terrible things. He's called himself, "I was the chief of sinners." Yet Jesus Christ saved him. And that salvation is available to you today. And then believers, we need to also realize and understand, we have never done anything that could ever separate us from God for eternity. We have that hope of salvation, that trust in knowing that we are saved, and we can never lose that. And in that same sense, we realize that there is a peace that God can bring and that He will bring in our lives if we but trust Him. And if we go about our lives rejoicing in Him and living gentleness out in front of others and praying and seeking the Lord continually. The number two, I want you to see that conquering anxiety takes action. It's easy for us when we have these feelings of anxiety come over us just to kind of go into our turtle shell and just kind of live there and like, oh man, I can't do anything about this. And just seclude ourselves. So we feel like there's no hope. But we have to take action against this. We have to take action when we're feeling those feelings of anxiety. We also have to take action before they even come so that we can prevent them. And that is why it is so important, as Paul says here, that we're finding our joy in the Lord. That we're not finding our joy in the people around us and the things in our life. They'll bring temporary joy, but they don't last very long. The joy of the Lord lasts for an eternity. And then not only that, number three, when you realize that the church should be the example of an atmosphere of peace. That the church should be living out these attitudes and these thoughts of thinking on things that are true and that are honest. All these things that Paul used to describe what a church should be living out. And so that we have the example of what it looks like to be living a lifestyle of peace. And we should be living that out in the lives, in our lives as believers today. So let me ask you, are you feeling weighed down by depression or fears or anxieties today? Is there something going on in your life you can't even explain? Is there a situation with a family member, someone close to you, a friend, and you can't even explain what they're going through? You don't understand why they are. You can't rationalize it in your minds. If that is true of you this morning, realize that God has the answers for you in His Word. That He will come alongside you. He will guide you. He will give you that peace. But we need to seek Him. We need to go before Him. We need to be living our lives asking the Lord to help us. I think the most important one, that the action here that Paul pointed out that we need to do is be living a lifestyle of prayer. Constantly seeking the Lord. Going before Him at many, many times throughout the day. Not just limited it to some religions do. You have to pray five times a day, pray a couple times a day, and that's when you pray. We have the opportunity to go before God any time because we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who is sitting at the right hand of God, who is interceding on our behalf. He is our high priest. We don't have to go to an individual. I'm so thankful we don't live in an age where we have to go to the priest or the pastor in order to pray. We'd be pretty busy. But we have the opportunity as individuals to go just before the Lord ourselves. And to seek Him, and to lay our burdens at His feet. And He wants us to do that. So if you are here today, and you're overwhelmed by these feelings of despair, and anxiety, and fear, and depression, come and lay those burdens at the feet of the Lord. And then commit that you're going to find your joy in the Lord, that you're going to seek out to live gentleness in front of others, and that you're going to be committing to pray and seek the Lord on a continual basis, at every chance that you get. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for these encouraging words. Thank You so much for giving these inspired words to Paul as he wrote to this church at Philippi. And we don't even know the full extent of what was going on at this church in regard to this situation. But Lord, we know that each one of us at different times in our life have struggled, have situations that, Lord, even though we love You, we just don't understand. Lord, we have anxiety and fear. We don't know where we're going to be able to get the food from for tomorrow. We don't know why these health needs are coming about. We don't know what the future needs are going to be. But Lord, as believers, we know you, and we know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, help us to come to you, to lay our burdens at your feet. And Lord, I pray, if there is anyone today, or as we have been going throughout this passage, and they're like, boy, that sounds exactly like what I need, and yet they do not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, help them to come unto you and to get that rest that you offer to them. Thank you so much for loving us so much that you gave your only Son to die for us. That love that we can never, ever replicate. But Lord, help us to be thankful for it and to be constantly living a life that is desiring to not allow fear and anxiety to control us. Thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and turn with me to number 592. Number 592, as we stand, number 592, like a river glorious. The first verse here says, like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious, every situation that we have in our life, God's peace is victorious over it. In its bright increase, perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth, deeper all the way. Believer, if you're here today and you have these feelings of fear and anxiety controlling you, I pray that you would get that, talk about that with the Lord today. Lay those burdens at his feet. If you need to come up here in the front and do that, please feel welcome. This altar is here for you. If you need to do that in your seat, if you need to do that at home, talk to the Lord about that today and commit that you're going to take action against these feelings of anxiety today. And person, if you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's nothing more that we would rather do than to be able to take you to God's Word this morning and to show you how you can have that peace in your life this morning. If you need to come and deal with the Lord this morning, please come as we sing number 592, Like a River Glorious.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every
verse 3, look at the words there. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully. All for us to do. They who trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. If we trust in the Lord completely, we're going to find that He will completely bring us that peace in our lives. Think about that as we sing that. Verse 3, as the last.
Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully, all for us to do. Trust Him wholly, find Him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest.
Amen. I pray that that pastor was an encouragement to you. I know it was to me. Then whether you're even dealing with something right now or you're preparing to deal with something in the future we don't even know about yet, I pray that this would be our desire to live out what God has given us this morning. Pray that you have an awesome day the rest of today. If you're going to be meeting with for the teen trip, please come right up here. We'll have that meeting right after this. And the rest of you have an awesome day. We'll look forward to seeing you tonight as we continue to look at different ways that anxiety looks to control us in our lives, but how trusting in God can be so rewarding. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the time that we could spend worshiping you and the time fellowshipping with one another. And I pray, Lord, that as individuals, we would be seeking to conquer that anxiety in our lives. And Lord, that as a church, we would cultivate that atmosphere of peace today. Thank you so much for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.